part of the passage that he'll be preaching from this morning. So if you'll turn in your Bibles to Matthew's Gospel, the 25th chapter. It's the parable of talents. If you've been in our offices or you've been in my home this week, I've been quoting this passage with a lot of different people. And so this is really great that he'll be preaching from this. In Matthew 25, verse 14, Jesus says, "Again, it will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted his property to them. To one he gave 5 talents of money, to another 2 talents, and to another 1 talent, and each according to his ability. Then he went on his journey." Julius, come and share with us this morning.
Thank you, sir.
All right.
How long?
How long do you want him to... There you go.
6 hours? 6 hours? I thought Americans go to church to go home. Or at least go to church to go and eat. So, 6 hours, I'm not sure how many people I'll have left after that. But how are you doing? Everybody fine?
Yeah.
Talk to me, come on. How are you? Are you all right?
Yes. God is good? Yes.
God is good?
Amen.
Oh, you say all the time. God is good?
All the time. I'm not so good, but he is.
And all the time?
All the time.
You didn't finish it up. You say, all the time God is good, and that's his nature.
That's his nature. Amen.
So God is good?
All the time.
And all the time? Some people didn't say the last part. Let's try again. God is good. And all the time. And then you finish with, wow. That's how we do it in Kenya. So let's start again. God is good. And all the time. God is good, and that is his nature. Wow. That's a surprise, is it? As you've heard, my name is Julius. I work with Southern Baptist Church in Kenya. I'm born again. I'm married, have 1 wife. You got to be careful to say that in Kenya. One wife. I realize in this country, everybody has 1 wife. It's very interesting. But I have 1 wife and 6 children. My wife is called Jane. So glad to be here this time. So excited for Doug and Jennifer for hosting me where we have been for ministry, and for a couple called the Crinox. They participated a lot in my connection to this area. I will not go into too many stories, because in Africa we like stories. You Americans, you like facts. But we prefer stories. Just talking and feeling nice and relaxing. We are never in a hurry. Never in a hurry. I realize you are in a hurry always in this place. But I know the reason. You want to know what I found out? Yes, you went quiet. You want to know what I found out? You are 8 hours behind us. That's why you drive crazy, you run around like you are in a hurry to do something, it's just you're trying to catch up. I don't know how long it will take you, but looks like it doesn't help you much. An interesting scripture we read about the talents. How many have read that story before? Oh, everyone. You know the good thing about here? Everybody has a Bible. I hope you read it. But the good thing is everybody has a Bible. I go to some places in Kenya to preach, and you get there. I brought one preacher one time. I got so fascinated with the evangelical, the charismatic preacher. And I invited him to come to one of my meetings. So he came with his normal jargon. And he stood there and said, you know the way they do it in some churches here? So lift up your Bible and say, this is my Bible. So he did that in one village, and nobody had a Bible. He didn't know what to do next, because he had memorized his procedure. I'm glad you have Bibles. You should thank God for that. Not everybody has a Bible. It's such a small thing. But the parable of the talents, quite an interesting one. The talents. And it's 5, 2, and 1. And it says, the kingdom of God is like that. So it appears to me that it's God who gave the talents. Does that sound like that truth?
Yes. Yes.
Come on. The guys this side are quite quiet. Can you say something? Does it sound like it's God who gave the talents?
Yes.
How about to you? Does it sound like it's God that gave the talents?
Amen.
And the pastor and your group?
He's quiet.
Yeah,
he's quiet.
He needs help, huh? Does it sound to you like it's God that gave out the talents?
Yeah.
It's a better group to preach to here. I think you, since your anointing is going across, you know, that's good. You know, the interesting part is that if God gave the talents, it looks like he left after giving the talents. He didn't stay there. He left the people with the talents. Has it ever occurred to you that sometimes the people who have talents always think that they also have God? It's a common thing here that anointed people are always mistaken for people who have God and we don't. Because maybe we are not as loud as they are, or maybe we don't look as nice, or we don't speak the same language, we have an accent. People tell me that here all the time, that I have an accent. No, it's you who has an accent. Well, so does it make sense that God would give some people talents or gifts or anointings, but that's not evidence of his presence? You can be a preacher. You can heal the sick. You can raise the dead. But it's never evidence that God is still with you.
Amen.
Please remember that. Because the guy who gave out the talents, he left them to work with the talents. And then he went and will come and check on his work later. That doesn't mean God is not with you. But it's an illustration I'm giving to you, so that you don't always hold in high esteem all of us who stand here and preach and think that by the anointing we have, we are better than you. Mr. Devil was anointed. If you read your Bible very carefully, you'll find out that the devil was anointed in heaven. He was some kind of musician. I don't know what type, but he was some kind of musician. Not as good as this choir. That was really good. He was not as good, by the way. Sometimes we give him too much credit. Mr. Devil was not this good. But has it ever occurred to you that after he fell and was thrown down here, that he still has those abilities? Has it ever occurred to you that he still does the same? That he can sing? That he can organize a choir? The devil still does that. He has that ability. So somehow when God gives you a talent, it's not always proof that he's still walking with you. And so if I was given a chance to look for a church in Jacksonville, I would look for a church where the pastor lives right and not preaches fire. Because you can preach big and Jesus is not there. Because character is what always proves that a man is with God. Remember a man called Saul? Saul in the Bible, he was anointed by Samuel to be a king. And one time he fell from grace and wanted to kill David. Isn't it interesting that David said, "You shall not touch God's anointed." So his anointed king trying to kill David. It's very confusing about anointing. And for us as Southern Baptists, sometimes the anointings we see, they bring disillusionment. We kind of start thinking we are better off. Not true. Not true at all. Because he's going to come back and check on what you've been doing with those talents. So the devil even has a territory. He took Jesus, you know, after Jesus had fasted for 40 days. I thought that it would be the Holy Spirit showing up, but it was the devil that showed up. So, has it ever occurred to you that fasting sometimes does not change certain situations? That after you fasted for 40 days, the guy who shows up is the one you fasted against. And it looked like he had more power than Jesus. Because he said, "If you worship me just a few minutes, I'll give you all this stuff." He had everything ready for Jesus. Looks like he did not pray, he did not fast, but he had everything. It's always an interesting thing to watch in the world today, that you see lots of men and women of God praying and fasting, and the first person that shows up after doing that is the devil himself to give you his credentials, tell you how much he has and how he can give you some of it. Hi. So, isn't it also strange that after fasting for 40 days, Mr. Devil, Satan, led Jesus into the temple? I wonder how many people were brought here by the devil. Is it possible that there's somebody here? No, talk to me. Is it possible that we have some guys in the church brought by the devil himself? That's interesting. But is it in the Bible? Yes, he was led. The devil took him to the temple and even told him to jump down. I'm heading somewhere, so don't worry, don't worry. We will get there together. Don't worry, don't worry. So the devil is anointed. He has all this stuff. He's showing Jesus all kinds of things. He even takes him to the temple. And he even quotes scriptures. He says it's written somewhere in your book that if you jump from here and fall down, the angels will come and hold you. You won't break a neck. You'll be okay. So sometimes he knows the scriptures. Baptists, we call ourselves the people of the word. So it's possible that somebody knows the word and he is inspired by the devil. I'm just trying to make life more difficult for you. So fasting for 40 days did not deter the devil from coming to see Jesus. If the devil speaks to you, it doesn't mean you have a demon. He came to speak to Jesus, Son of God. Jesus quotes scriptures, devil quotes scriptures. Now we are stuck. Jesus has a great anointing upon him, and the devil has anointing upon him too. Jesus says it is written, and the devil says it's written. It's an interesting power play here. So who is who? What a difficult place to know who actually is a child of God. You know where it is difficult to know who a child of God is? It is in the church. See, if we go to a witch doctor's place, we know everybody there belongs to this side. If you go to some places, you kind of know this is a place for... But in church, it looks like everybody's in there. And so we need something to help us know exactly how to move forward from here. So having said all that, it brings confusion that a man has talents and does not have the owner of the talents. It looks interesting that a man has scriptures and does not have the author of the scriptures. It looks strange that somebody has the word of God and does not have the God of the word. It is strange, but it's happening now. So let me bring all this together. See, how are we going to handle this? And a few years ago, many, many years ago, of course, I think. You know, I'm older than many of you. Did you know that? Who thinks he's older than me? If you think you're older than me, lift up your hand. You just lied. How do you know who is older? You look at how long they have been exposed to the sun. You mean you didn't know that? I've been on the sun much longer than all of you. So who thinks he's still older than me? Nobody. No. Well, I'm glad we have some Kenyans in the house. Did you know you have Kenyans here? Huh? Some Kenyans, two Kenyans here. You don't know them? Maybe I should introduce you to my tribe, you know. Fred and Betty. These are people who helped establish ministry in Kenya and in Tanzania. We should appreciate them for that.
Amen.
That's one of the reasons I'm here today.
Amen.
Because some people traveled from here and came to Africa and taught us the gospel. So we have ended up here. And I think we should come here and be missionaries too, this side. Pay back.
Amen.
Jambo ndugu. Hey, mko salama? Salama tu. Asante. Mmebarikiwa sana. Asanteni kwa kazi nzuri. They did a great job. But many years ago, when I received Christ as my Lord, having had a difficult background of exposing myself to the traditional religion in my village, I grew up in a witch doctor's home. They practiced witchcraft through the generations. And when I was 5 years old, they took me up to initiate me into witchcraft. So they gave me all types of lessons, took me through the bushes, taught me all kinds of medicine. You know, witchcraft is not just, it's not just bewitching people. They have some good stuff, like looking for herbs and things, but they mix up things. And then they took me to my grandfather's grave. They dug his grave. And remember, my grandfather died when my father was 12. So I didn't know him. But they dug up his grave, took off the soil, and lowered me into his grave. And put me on his bones. And covered it with timber, logs. They slaughtered all kinds of animals and poured blood in it and all kinds of things, sang songs and danced over me. And then they left me there all night. We're talking somebody 5 years old, left in a forest all night. And their idea was, if I'm not eaten up, then I'm the chosen one. If an animal does not come and kill me or something happens, then I'm the chosen one. They came back, and I was still there. So one of them opened the grave and asked, "Do you know your grandfather?" And I said, "No." They said, "He's not ready." They covered it again and went back home. I didn't eat. Stayed there all night. Three of the elders who were doing that ceremony came back to me, came back at night about 4 a.m. in the morning. And they said, "Do you know your grandfather?" And I said, "Yes." So they asked me, "What does he look like?" I gave them the description because I saw him. He was dressed in this kind of dress. These are the kind of shoes he had. He had a hat this side, and this is how tall he was. And I described everything. I had seen him. So I was dedicated to the powers of darkness for certain activities. And I was supposed to take over from my grandmother. Well, to cut the whole story short, then I went to high school. So we are in high school, and first year, a teacher is transferred to our school, and he's a Christian. So he comes in and says, today we would like to pray. I'd never heard somebody's praying, you know, before. Want to pray? So how is it done? And then he said, it's not me. One of you will pray for us. So I kind of was cheeky, so I made fun of it, put my hands up and brought them back. And then he said, you, pray for us. It was one of the most difficult days of my life. I still remember sweating that day. I still feel it because I had never prayed before. So I tried to remember all the prayers that have been prayed before, Jesus of Mary, Mary of Abraham, and all that kind of stuff, and I couldn't recall. And the students started laughing. They laughed at me, and after the meeting, they started calling me Bishop. So you will see sometimes my name is Bishop on some papers. I was a bishop before I became a Christian. Well, after that, we were taken to some club, and I gave my life to Christ. But the most difficult part of my giving my life to Christ was that I felt more empty than when I was in a non-Christian. Because I was active, my mind was active, I could figure out some things. I was always functioning in both the spirit and the flesh at the same time. I was working with different spirits. So it was kind of boring to be a Christian. Maybe you are bored being a Christian. You might want to talk to me after this service. Because it can be very boring to be a Christian. Just to sit at home, read your Bible, come to church on Sunday, a guy stands here, preaches to you, go back home, go to work, go to your house, and make short prayers, eat your food, and all. It's a very boring life. There's got to be something better than that. And I'm sure some of you might be in the same position. It is not the idea of talents, but it's the issue of having a God. It's not the talents that you have. It's not the natural abilities, but there is a God in heaven, and we need a closer relationship with Him.
Amen.
That makes it easier for you to live a Christian life. And I can talk to you more about that, and we can talk for hours. Well, I ended up in the Baptist seminary and did all the stuff that needs to be done. I became a preacher, and I've really enjoyed working with the Baptist church over the years. And every time I see people like you seated listening to me, I will never fail to give you that version of the story, that there's something more to Christianity than memorizing scriptures, knowing the Bible, receiving Jesus, and sitting back at home just to continue with normal life. I think there is something more to it than the scriptures. Matthew chapter number 22, if you have somewhere you can write, verse number 29. Some people were Africans, I think. They were from Africa. They came to Jesus. Because that's what we do in Africa. A man had a one wife. And what happened with the husband? The husband died. The brother took over. The brother died. The other brother took over. You know, some of the things that bother me as a Christian in Africa, and that's one thing I pray for a lot. I have an elder brother. His name is James. He has three wives. I don't want him to die at all. That guy should not make a mistake of dying. Because then I'll be under pressure to have four wives. It's a reality. You know, it sounds like a joke to you, but you know, the whole village will come to me if my brother dies. And they'll say, Julius, this is it. So it's something that I'll have to deal with if he ever dies. I prefer he never dies. Or at least he should die when I'm 90. Then they can't bother me. You don't bother a 90-year-old man with three wives. But after he died, after the brothers died, the interesting story is that these guys say they all went to heaven. So there's a possibility of having more than one wife and being in heaven. So while they were in heaven, that's not a good thing, you know, don't do it. Don't do this at home, you know. So while they are in heaven, the guys are asking, what will happen? Whose wife will she be? Chapter 22 and verse 29 is the answer that Jesus gave. What did he say? You have it? You have it somewhere in your Bible? Can you read for me? No. Matthew 22:29. You are making mistakes.
Jesus answered and said to them, you are mistaken, not knowing the scriptures nor the power of God.
Not knowing the scriptures nor the power of God. So, you can make mistakes if you don't know the scriptures. We agree? We agree? If you don't know what the Bible says, you will make mistakes. You agree? Come on, let me hear your answer, chorus answer. If you don't know the scriptures, you will make mistakes. This number two, if you don't know the power of God, you will make mistakes. Now, that didn't sound as loud. If you don't know the power of God, you also make mistakes. Now, as Baptists, we found it easy to fix the first one. If you don't know the scriptures, you go to seminary, you learn the scriptures. But where do you go to learn the power of God? And that's the challenge I want to leave with you today. May the Lord help you that you don't stay with the talents and not connect with the God of the talents. May the Lord help you to be anointed but connected with the anointer, the one who anoints you. May the Lord help you to have the Word of God and the God of the Word.
Amen.
Because God did not write a book and then die. He's still here. He wrote the book, but he's still here. And he still does some stuff. He's still active. And I like to see him very active and working with us. I love you all. I've enjoyed being here. God bless you so much. Enjoy your day.
Amen.
Back to you, Pastor. Yes.
All right, that's quite a challenge. And, you know, there's some things I think that we need to meditate on and kind of move out on as we focus in on coming to the conclusion of our service. You know, he said that God does some stuff. How many of you want God to do some stuff in your life today? You know, we want to know the Word of God, but we also want to know the power of God. And we want God to do that powerful stuff that changes and transforms lives. For some of us, it's to say, I need to know the Anointer. I need to know Jesus. I need to know the Holy Spirit. I need to trust in Him completely. I need to stop depending on religion. I need to stop depending on the legalism of religion that I have committed my life to. To experiencing Him personally, to knowing Him, to know the joy and the grace, to know the peace, to know the new life that comes with Jesus and the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit. And so for some of us today, it's to say, I need to trust Jesus. I need to start that journey. I need to begin that journey and follow Jesus completely. For others of us, we kind of live in that talented life that Julius was talking about, that life that's talented, that God has moved, that God has given us stuff, that God has work things out in our lives. We have faith. We have trusted him. But there's something that's not hitting on all six, not all eight cylinders. There's something missing. And what's needed is revival. What's needed is a time to come back to him. What's needed is for the Holy Spirit to come and do something fresh and new in our lives. Today is a day for refreshment. Today is a day for renewal. Today is a day of revival. Today is a day for God to pour out his Spirit on us, to bring us new life, to bring us new hope, to bring us new understanding. You know, the amazing thing is we can know the scriptures and not know the power, but when we start to know the power, then we really start to understand the scriptures. And so I want us to have a time where we are open to come and say, God, pour out your Spirit on me today. Help me to live in a life that is based on knowing the anointer, not just to live in the anointing. Help me to know you more powerfully, more intimately, and not just to depend on the religion that I have received as I've grown through life. And so this morning, this is our opportunity. It's our opportunity to be open for God to do something fresh and new. And so our altar is open to come and pray. If you would like to pray with Julius, he's given you the invitation. You know, I'll be glad to talk to you. I'll be glad to pray with you. If you'd like to come and pray with him today, we welcome you. We'll have some other friends here at the front that will be ready to pray with you this morning as well. This is a time to come to Jesus. It's a time to come to Jesus to do something fresh and new. It's a time for the Holy Spirit to come and to fill us up in a fresh new way. So won't you stand and won't you come?